Svatasya kovidantinmam. Murkham panditamaninam.
Yoham
Ishvaratam pratyam. Sri Bhigo Karavachita. Svatasya, his own best interest. Akovidam, who does not know. Dik, to hell. Mam, with me. Murkam, a fool. Panditamaninam, imagining himself to be a great scholar. Ya, who? Aham, I. Ishvaratam, the position of lordship. Prapya, achieving. Srivir, by women. Gokaravat, like a bullock or an ass. Jita, conquered. Translation by this one says, Srila Prabhupada. To hell with me. I am such a fool that I didn't even know what was good for me, although I arrogantly thought I was highly intelligent. Although I achieved the exalted position of a lord, I allowed myself to be conquered by women as if I were a bullock or a jackass. Translation responsibly. To hell with me. I am such a fool that I didn't even know what was good for me. Although I arrogantly thought I was highly intelligent. Although I achieved the exalted position of a lord, I allowed myself to be conquered by women as if I were a bullock or a jackass. Purport by Sons of Divine Grace, La Ispectment, Samshya Prabhupada. All the fools of this world consider themselves very wise scholars, even though intoxicated by sense gratification, are maddened by their lust for women's association. They become just like bullocks and jackasses. By the mercy of a saintly spiritual master, this lusty propensity can be gradually removed, and one can understand the terrible, contemptible nature of material sense gratification. In this verse, King Pururava is coming to his senses in Krishna consciousness. Shri Chaitanya Manodastavastavitam yena bhutale swaram rupakadama yam tilati swaplanti kama. Panishar kalpa tirugastra kripa singhubya eva chapatitanam pahnavyo vaishnave ro namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are in the section called the Aila Gita, another one of Krishna's ways of reminding us of the terrible fortune of having a material body and being in this material world. So the verse itself is highly explicit and very honest. So it's not that we after this should go out and start calling people fools, jackasses and bullocks and all these other things. Of course we have to be intelligent in how we are presenting the nature of the material world. So this pastime is a repetition of what was being already explained in the ninth canto about King Pururva and how he was bewildered literally by the beautiful form of a woman from the heavenly planet, and how by constant engagement he gradually decided that they would exploit each other and enjoy. So of course the end result that he started suffering intensely being in her separation. And Srila Prabhupada in those purports is explaining the danger of actually identifying one as the lord of the material nature, because that position can only be claimed by Krishna. He is the supreme He's the supreme controller. So here once again, after we explain, after Krishna had explained the three modes of material nature and beyond, how the living entity can actually go beyond the modes of material nature, he gives this example in the Aila Gita of this King Puruva and how he came to his senses in Krishna consciousness, understanding that his body is not meant to enjoy matter. By association with saintly persons who are always liberated, understanding who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, he was able to actually extract himself from the worldly association. So this verse is speaking basically about two things: how we can actually associate. So we have favorable association, we have unfavorable association. And the whole pastime of this Aila Gita is to show us that when we associate with too much of the modes of material nature, and when we associate with our false ego, we actually end up in forgetfulness of Krishna. Whereas we're supposed to be associating with saintly persons who are understanding their position and the position of Krishna. So this pastime is meant to elevate us in that way, to always make us understand that we should, although we're in the material world, we should be in the association of saintly people, people with saintly character who are always conversant with the understanding of what reality is and what illusion is, according to the Vedic scripture. So we'll first start off with unfavorable association. And of course here, and most of the time in Srimad Bhagavatam, the example will be given of falling down to the member of the opposite sex, because that is the most degrading way of identifying with matter. That is the topmost way of portraying to Krishna that we are actually the enjoyer. I know some of us probably, when we started reading about Krishna and who Krishna is, we were a bit confused to hear that Krishna, God, has girlfriends, right? And he's enjoying in the Rasa Leela. He's 8 years old with girls. And immediately for us, because our consciousness and our mind is very much contaminated, we started thinking, well, if he can do it, why can't I? So therefore, we go on enjoying this world, trying to also imitate Krishna. But only Krishna, of course, can get away with this, because Krishna is powerful enough to expand himself to create 16,108 castles, and to expand himself and to give pleasure to each of his principal queens and the gopis at the same time. If we try and do that in this material world, just even to satisfy one's mind of the opposite sex is a heinous task. It's very difficult. So we cannot imitate Krishna's activities, and we cannot see Krishna's activities from a material point of view, because it won't make sense. We have to understand Krishna's pastimes and at the same time engage in his devotional service. This is how we understand Krishna. We cannot understand Krishna merely by logically analyzing his pastimes in a dry, speculative way, because that will not help us understand his magnanimity. That won't help us understand how he's the king of all rasas. So we have to understand Krishna's activities in the association of saintly devotees, saintly personalities. So the unfavorable association that we get in this material world, here is likened to the member of the opposite sex. And for both of us, men and women, we fall prey to this. Some of us have fallen prey to this so many times in the material world before coming into the association of devotees. And the fact of the matter is, when we have a material body, it comes with certain things. It comes with hormones. It comes with desires. It comes with material desires. It comes with old age. It comes with diseases. The material body comes with so many things. And over time, this is all revealed to us. So when we associate ourselves with the lower modes of association, because when we associate with people, we're actually associating with the combination of the lower modes. So some people are overwhelmed a lot by the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion, And we understand from Bhagavad Gita that these modes of material nature are always mixed. So no one is purely on the mode of goodness in this material world. And no one is purely in the mode of ignorance. It's always mixed. Because the modes of material nature, they are always competing for supremacy. Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. So we are trying to enjoy matter, although here it's speaking of the member of the opposite sex, but this is exactly what we do with the material energy, that over and over again we're trying to extract as much happiness, as much enjoyment as we can from matter. So over and over again, King Kruva is now cursing himself that he's such a fool, that he's doing this over and over again, and he knows that he's suffering from the association of the lower modes of material nature. So he's like a jackass or like a bullock. He's saying here that although he's so intelligent, although he's a great king, although he's a great administrator, a great leader, he falls prey to the demise of a materialistic woman or a materialistic man in the other sense. So here it seems that if we are by ourselves, we become conquered by the modes of material nature. And it's not very easy for us to actually control the modes of material nature, because they control us in our forgetful state, in our conditioned state. We don't control anything. We are actually controlled in a very subtle way, but we do not see that. So when we hit the age of 13, for some people when they're 9, when they're 10, no one has to go to training to experience attraction with the opposite sex. No one has to be taught, okay, so when you're 9, or when you're 10, something is going to start happening. Mm-hmm. When you see a member of the opposite sex, and nowadays, of course, when you see a member even of the same sex, it doesn't matter anymore. So you start going a bit funny. Like you start acting funny. You start speaking funny. You're trying to impress. You start walking a specific way all of a sudden. So all these different things, when we're bewildered, when this attraction towards the member of the opposite sex or same sex happens, we start acting in embarrassing ways. Like the material body is just a bag of embarrassment, really. So our behavior starts changing. It's something that automatically happens with the material body. We start thinking, oh, there's something for my skin. Right? A member of the opposite sex. What can you do for my skin? What can my skin do for yours? So immediately we get forced to act in these specific ways. So we're not really in control, even from such a stage. Even in our old age, we can still see. You go to different places, or you observe the mannerisms of people. Old people, young people, when an old member, a man or woman, sees a very attractive male species or female, you know, they start looking in a specific way. They start acting in a specific way. So this sixth desire, this sixth impulse, is what's been driving the conditioned soul birth after birth. And this is why the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of so many different scenarios where we have, you know, Shudras, we have great kings, great leaders. We have so many different classes of conditioned souls who become embarrassed and bombarded by this sex impulse. So we have different pastimes of King Puranjana, or we have the pastimes where Narada Muni is explaining to the sons of Brahma, the Brahmacharis, that they should always remain Brahmachari, because this sex life is very degrading. We have the pastime of King Yayati. We have the pastime of, you know, Lord Indra or Lord Brahma himself becoming bewildered by his own daughter. So from the topmost living entity down to the most insignificant worm or pigeon or whatever, as we read in the 11th canto as well, the pastime of Pingala, how the sixth desire, how the sixth impulse is something that is so strong, something that is so ingrained in the consciousness of the conditioned soul. So Bhagavatam is giving us ways and means that we can understand that this is something that we all have to deal with. Just like we all have to deal with disease, we are all going to deal with old age. Not all, some people die before their old age. But we're basically going to go through all these different bodily transformations. This is what it means to acquire a material body. So already we have this association of the lower modes. And gradually, Krishna throughout this chapter, he will explain how by the association of saintly devotees that we actually get extricated from this sex impulse. And specifically, in the Shastra, it's explaining over and over again that when we associate with these saintly devotees, Srila Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita verse, Tad Vidhi Pranipatyana Pariprasyana Sevaya Upirakshanti Yana Janina Stapadarshana. Srila Prabhupada then quotes this verse and says that actually, when he explains and expands and unpacks this verse, he explains that, you know, it's the duty of the spiritual master to find ways and means by which the conditioned soul can fix their mind on Krishna. So this is how we start associating with these saintly devotees. We start taking their direction, we start taking their instruction, and in that way we become extricated from becoming contaminated by these lusty endeavors to enjoy in this material world. So the spiritual master will take the example of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada did something very powerful that for us to actually understand how to become detached from matter, how to purify ourselves from thinking we're the body all the time, or we're our mind, or we're our intelligence. Srila Prabhupada gave us this process of sadhana bhakti. Right? And it's not that the process of sadhana bhakti is just rules and regulations and that's it. So all we do is like, we're just doing this, we're not doing that, we're doing this, we're not doing that. This is what my life is about. Just rules and regulations. And in that way, that's how we become mechanical in our practice of bhakti, because we're thinking, okay, we're conditioned souls and our process is vaidhi sadhana bhakti, so I'm just doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm doing this, not doing that, over and over again. Hence, it becomes boring and we become unenthused, and we think there's something wrong with this process of devotional service because it's just a bunch of rules and regulations. But the sadhana bhakti, Srila Prabhupada is explaining the nectar of devotion, that the sadhana bhakti is meant to actually bring us to the state of bhava bhakti. So we're following rules and regulations to actually entice us to become attracted to Krishna and his pastimes. So sadhana bhakti is not just a way of performing some dry mechanical process, but sadhana bhakti should be performed with the mood of wanting to understand and know who Krishna is. So we don't just stop at just doing rules and regulations for the sake of performing rules and regulations. There's actually something more behind sadhana bhakti. And another thing is that we shouldn't put down the process of sadhana bhakti and think it's inferior, because it is through sadhana bhakti that we actually get the spontaneous love for Krishna that we're looking for. We cannot skip, at this point we are, the conditioned soul cannot skip and just go to the Ragatika platform and now be on this spontaneous, you know, different rust with Krishna. That is cheapening the process of pure devotional service. So this, by the sadhana bhakti, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that it's not just practice, because practice, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that practice denotes an idea or perception that we're doing something that we actually don't know. But we understand that the bhakti or devotion to Krishna is already in the heart, because we're part and parcel of Krishna. Originally we have love of God, but at this point in time it's being covered. So the process of sadhana bhakti is just igniting or awakening that love of God that's already existing. So sadhana bhakti it's not inferior. Sadhana bhakti is not just a way to pass time or to kind of know Krishna. Sadhana bhakti is the way in which will lead us to spontaneous attraction to Krishna. Because love of God, as explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is already situated in the heart. What the spiritual master does is that he ignites that flame. Like sometimes we see in the forest, you have these fireflies. And you have this vast forest, and you can just see one firefly, and it's somewhere so obscure. Right? It's so insignificant. So the role of the acharya, or the spiritual master, he sees that spark in the heart of the conditioned soul to actually serve Krishna. He sees that spiritual inclination, and his duty is just to fan that spark until it grows into an insurmountable fire of devotion towards Krishna. So just as within wood, we already have fire. Fire is already situated in wood. We just have to learn the process how to ignite fire from wood. So this process, Vadi Sadhana Bhakti, this is a nice way in which we can actually, in our conditioned state, fix our mind on Krishna. So sometimes we might think, I actually think this to myself, oh Krishna, I'm doing so much, you know, I'm doing all these rules and regulations, what are you doing for me? You know, I've given up eating this, I've given up this association, you know, I've given up so many things, but sometimes it feels hard and dry, and Krishna, what are you going to do for me? Why don't you just give me love of God? Why don't you just give me your love? And sometimes we may think like that. Just give me love of God, I'll accept it. But we understand, gradually when we study Srila Prabhupada's book, we understand that bhakti is not just mechanics, that there has to be a transformation in the heart. So what happens is that the inclination to want to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, has to happen naturally. So there's a few married ladies here, and we can understand that when you're in a marriage, or the men, if someone says to you, okay, you're going to marry this woman, come hell or high water, you're going to marry her and you're going to love her. Right, so you get forced to love someone. Does it work? Do you think it will work? Who here is in favor of forced love? Like your hands are tied up for the rest of your life and you're told you have to love this person. So like that, we cannot force Krishna to give himself to the greatest degree. We cannot force Krishna to give us prema bhakti, because bhakti is an affair of the heart. It has to come naturally. It's a natural awakening of the soul. So we cannot force Krishna to do away with sadhana bhakti and just give us prema bhakti. That's force. Just as we don't like to be forced to do things. We cannot force Krishna, okay Krishna, now you have to give me the highest thing, because you know, it's just, that's what you have to do. So we cannot treat bhakti like that. We cannot treat this process of sadhana bhakti like that, because it's meant to actually elevate us in a natural flow to open up our heart and start serving Krishna to the highest degree. And that is why we are aided to follow in the footsteps of the Vrindavan Basis. That in their pastimes, their whole concentration is on serving Krishna, and this has happened gradually. In the process of sadhana bhakti, Krishna gradually purifies the heart, depending on how we surrender to him. So in the pastime of Krishna playing his flute at Vamsivat, Krishna is explaining in the Krishna books a very nice description, and Srila Prabhupada would always guide us that when we read these wonderful descriptions in Krishna book, that it is a way for us to actually meditate upon Vrindavan. So when the different acharyas are explaining the autumn season, how you know the sun is rising and setting and creating an orange hue, how there is the scent of jasmine is just pervading the atmosphere in Vrindavan. The lotuses are opening up. Everything is just conducive before Krishna's Rasalila. And how when Krishna then decides to play his flute, Krishna is arousing in each heart of the different gopis of Vrindavan a different degree of attraction for him. So when we each perform the process of sadhana bhakti, Krishna is not just being idle in the heart and just not doing anything. Krishna is very active. So when we serve Krishna, Krishna reciprocates with our loving exchange. So with the gopis, Krishna would intensify the attachment for him. And that is why it's explained in Krishna book that they all came to the forest in different ways, in different mannerisms, in different levels of ecstasy. Because Krishna is acting with each individual living entity to arouse his dormant love for him. So even on the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that we're learning to reawaken this love of God we have for Krishna, Krishna starts igniting that flame by purifying us within the realm of practicing these different rules and regulations. So this Vaidhi Bhakti gradually will lead us to spontaneous loving attraction for Krishna. It's not that we can do without. We need a process to help us remember that we're servants of Krishna, that we're loving servants of Krishna. So this is how, when we gain the association of the saintly devotee, Srila Prabhupada, he has given us a process of sadhana bhakti, that we become less and less attracted to the activities that are under the modes of material nature. We become less attracted to the wonderful ways in which Maya Devi colors the material world, either in the form of intelligence, wealth, fame, or in the form of beauty of the opposite sex. This is just Maya's way of playing with different energies of Krishna. So the material energy, that is Krishna's energy, to bewilder us, the conditioned soul. But our duty should be to understand the amazing power the material energy has, how it makes us so forgetful of suffering. So we're actually supposed to come out of this ignorant state of forgetfulness of Krishna and taking through a process where we're learning to fix our mind on Krishna, always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. This is the aim, this is the sum and substance of the Vedic literature, that we always remember Krishna and we never forget him. And this process we're performing now of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, the nine processes of hearing and chanting, remembering the Lord, worshipping the deity, etc., is meant to help us always remember Krishna and never forget him. So when we see Krishna's energy working, when we see the material world, when we see a member of the opposite sex, when we see so many different things, we understand this is Krishna's energy. Some of it is bewildering, and that's Krishna's energy. Don't mess with it, because it will bewilder you even more as a conditioned soul. And we are very quick to forget just the amount of bewilderment and the amount of suffering that Krishna's energy can do. The other day, one devotee was mentioning how there's this one documentary called The Womb. And I think 2 days ago, I Googled it and I watched it. And then I found, it was very interesting. And then I went on Thursday, I went to Urban Yoga, taught yoga, and then I was speaking to the guests, and they're like, oh, I was watching this documentary called The Womb, etc. And then they were just all so fascinated, and oh, it's so beautiful and amazing what the body can do, and it's just great. Women are so strong, and you know, saying all these nice things, and in my mind, I'm thinking, it is such a, you know, I'm not anti-kids or anything like that. You know? None of us were born adults. So we came from somewhere. But anyway, I watched this documentary, and what came out for me, the amount of pain and suffering that goes on while the child is in there is just intense. And sometimes we forget how horrible it is. And for most materialists, those who don't understand what's happening in with the child for the 9 months, you know, they just think, oh, birth is such a wonderful thing. Of course, we understand, we give birth to, you know, Krishna conscious children. That's a totally different, you know, scene. That's a totally different understanding. But for most people, it's out of sense gratification. So we understand, here's a soul that is coming into our association. We're going to give this soul Krishna consciousness. So that is fun. That is regulated. That is according to Shastra. But for the materialists out there who are just having uncontrolled relations, when they see these documentaries, for them there's no suffering at all. It is just too beautiful. You know, we don't mind having to come back again and experience that again. And there's been a few devotees that I've met who, through past life, they have actually remembered when they were in the womb. And they said the first time they watched anything like that, they actually fainted because it triggered an emotion. And they fainted because the thought of it was just so horrific. So I was watching this documentary and it was showing how, you know, just giving birth to one child, then twins, then triplets, then quadruplets. And, you know, it shows you everything. You know, for the quadruplets, it was explaining, because, you know, how do you perform natural birth when you have quadruplets inside of you? So they have to cut the stomach. And just it was just... Krishna is very quick to make us forget the intense suffering, seeing how those living entities are just yanked out, and, you know, it's just such a horrible thing. And for a devotee, when we see these things, we just think, I don't want to have to go through the experience of birth again. Although it is praised by the materialist, yes, birth is beautiful, but a devotee understands birth in the material world means that we're just going to suffer. We're going to forget Krishna. Because everything that you've experienced in that, you forget because of the excruciating pain. So Krishna's energy is very powerful, that we're very quick to forget. Even after a traumatic experience, we forget about that experience. And then we want to enjoy being in this material world. This is how Krishna's energy is working. So a devotee doesn't become bewildered and seeing stars and this and glamour. We understand Krishna's energy. It's not all so nice. It's going to make us itch and twitch, and we're going to have some pain. The material world is pain and pleasure. It's duality. So we get to understand all these different things. So by performing this process, we get to become protected from actually falling down into bad association. So the more we take the association of the nine processes of bhakti, the association of devotees, those who are practicing on this path, who are themselves saintly by character, we get to become protected from the external energy and thinking that we can become comfortable within that external energy. That is the greatest illusion. So this Ayana Gita is spoken that we may be able to understand what bad association can do. Bad association can lead us to fall down in spiritual life. Bad association, through the modes gross or subtle, will lead us to a spiritual fall down. So this process that we're practicing at this stage, this sadhana, this Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, it is meant for us to be able to fix our mind on Krishna so that we always remember him and we never forget him at any point. So this process purifies the heart, and gradually this longing for Krishna, this longing for becoming Krishna's pure servant, will start to awaken in the heart. So this is our goal, that we want to serve Krishna purely. So this is how we should execute our sadhana, our devotional service. With a plan in mind to achieve Krishna and not just mechanically following a process. Because this process is what is going to lead us to become lovers of God to the greatest magnitude. So we should have a vision, we should have our goal in mind. I'm performing sadhana bhakti. I'm not just performing sadhana bhakti to get rid or to be free from suffering. After a few years or after a few months of practicing devotional service, we start to ask ourselves, you know, am I starting to become attracted to Krishna, or am I just escaping the harsh material energy? So when you start to think like that, gradually we start elevating our consciousness and we start serving Krishna in a different way. We actually want to learn to understand Krishna's pastimes and become attracted. Because unless we're attracted to Krishna's pastimes, you know, it's explained in the Shastra that it's not It doesn't mean that if you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're doing all these processes, if there's no genuine attraction for Krishna and his pastimes, you won't go to Goloka Vrindavan. You'll keep coming back over and over again until you actually develop a relationship, an attraction for Krishna. So sadhana bhakti is not just treated like rules and regulations, but it should be performed with a genuine longing or desire to become attracted to Krishna's pastimes and his activities. And this will lead us to the greatest boon in human in this birth, pure love of God. So I'll stop there now. I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Kanapati Prabhu.
But the point about why we have to suffer, like, sometimes one person, Krishna wants you to come back to the spiritual world. And some people are thought, why can't he just allow us to be satisfied in the material world? And then let us be independent of God and our world. Why does he have to intervene? And why does he have to that make us suffer? So the argument with Mandala is when we make it such a choice and they can't see that Krishna actually does care about us and is not trying to just
bash us up all the time. Yeah. Yeah, you get, let's say, you know, the plague somewhere, or you get an earthquake, or you get something, oh God, it is because of God. God has done this. How cruel when something great happens in their life. Forget God. It is all me. So we get, when we're preaching, we get different classes of people. And some people, of course, immediately we can detect some enviousness or just some intense desire to remain in this material world and enjoy. So when people ask, why can't we just stay here and enjoy by ourselves? We'll be fine. Why does Krishna have to create a material world and we're stuck here and we can't go to our original position? You know, we can just gradually start asking them, you know, different questions. For example, what I used to do, or why do we have to be in this material world? Why are we made to suffer? You know, we can just ask them a simple question, who chose to be here? So if you go to a nightclub and you end up being bashed up because you were speaking to someone's boyfriend or speaking to someone's girlfriend with some intention, or you're sitting just, you're walking and then you bite your tongue, who do you blame for that? Do you blame ourselves? Or like, oh, it's because the person who made this road made a bump, and it's because of that bump that I bit myself. So sometimes people just need to be a little bit honest and take responsibility. Okay, I'm here because I want you to be here, and I think I'm happy or I'm suffering. Why am I suffering? You know, for every single activity that we do, we get training, we have to get qualified. So this material world means we have to qualify ourselves out, or we'll just remain, you know, with the lowest grade. We'll just get an F on our report card. You know, the body dies, F, fall down. The body ends, F, fall down. Then you have to come back again, repeat. Or if we, you know, we're practicing some process and we slightly get elevated, or we stay on a human platform and then we start getting into contact with other people who are spiritualists. So it is because of our lack of responsibility that we can't actually see that we keep on bringing ourselves back into a degraded position. And if someone is very honest, they will accept. Everyone understands that to be a lawyer, you have to get a qualification. You don't just walk up at a courthouse and say, yes, I'm a lawyer, so I'm going to argue this case. You don't just walk up and say, I'm a surgeon, I can perform this heart surgery on your child. I don't have any qualification, but I've kind of figured it out. I kind of know what a heart is and where it is, and I know the scalpels and stuff, so I'll use that. So you can just, you know, that's what I'm going to do. So, of course, if someone comes up to us like that, we'll just think you're nuts. You're not going to touch anyone. You don't have any qualification. You don't have any training. Just bugger off. In spiritual life, we have the tendency, or when people want to understand spiritual matters, they have the tendency to treat it very whimsically. Like, oh no, you know, it's like it's all right, and you know, I'm kind of happy. I just want to remain here. Why do I have to do all these things? And if someone is very sinful in their lifestyle, in their activity, they won't understand anything that you'll say to them. So if you tell someone, you know, are you really happy or are you suffering? And it's just written all over their face. You know, the face is the index of the mind. You know, you have bills to pay, you have a mortgage, you have a husband who's cheating on you, you have a wife who nags you all day and night, you have kids who spend your money, you have a mother who's attached to you, your boss is just not the greatest person on the planet, and you're going to lose your job in a few months, and your car is acting up, and we call this happiness. Does it really make sense? Just analyze every single thing. So we can just, a good way to actually start preaching in this way to people, you just kind of start being their buddy, start being their friend, and then gradually you'll just really dig deep into the heart and tell them, listen, okay, this is your lifestyle, just look at it from a normal, do you think this is really happiness or not? You're getting yourself deeper and deeper into these situations. Do you think you'll be happy year after year after year? So gradually you start asking people these different questions, and they walk away and they think about it. Any more questions? No comments? Mahatma is not here. Is he in India? Does anyone know where Mahatma is? Prabhu? It's strange not to have Mahatma Prabhu in class. Oh, he's going to be known for Kartik. So he must be firing away the comments and the questions in ecstasy. Okay, thank you very much. Pancho Archimad Bhagavatam. Shri Prabhupada.